is just two of Smokey the Groove. Check them out with Boot Juice on April 8th. It's a Saturday. You can get your tickets at the Music Connection or online at kzfr.org or at the door. Either way, how you slice it, it's going to be a yummy bowl of cigarette toast crunch. Coming up next, we have some great talk programming. And then we kick back up into music. Every day is a beautiful day here on KZFR 90.1 FM. Next week is Rafiki. Make sure to check out him. I will see you listeners Saturday night for Electronic Phonics, Electro to Techno, and everything in between.
This is Up the Road, dedicated to sustaining the California story. I'm Kim Weir. This is it. Time for California's best flower show. Especially if you've never experienced a rain-induced desert wildflower big bloom or super bloom. The phenomenon is fairly rare. It may not happen even in years of big rain. Drought-adapted wildflowers and other desert plants need very specific conditions, as in species-specific, to risk blooming, to risk using up so much life energy to produce seed, to reproduce, even to risk growing, if conditions won't support the entire life cycle of the new generation. Desert plants seem to follow the motto, when in doubt, wait it out. Water is often a limiting factor for seed sprouting, plant growth, and flower and seed development, which is why so many drought-adapted plants produce seeds that won't germinate without enough rain, and sometimes very particular temperature requirements before, during, and after the rain. Nature knows. So, years of heavy rain may be excellent for enjoying the state's desert wildflowers, sequential, sometimes stunning displays of ephemeral beauty. It depends. How well do you know the places you'll be visiting? There's much to be gained by being a careful observer. Consider again Mary Austin's description of the desert's powerful night sky in her 1903 book, The Land of Little Rain. She clearly knew the land intimately and was humbled by the relationship, felt deeply and was deeply liberated by the realization that humankind is unimportant in the larger story of life on Earth. As Austin put it, "Of no account you who lie out there watching, nor the lean coyote that stands off in the scrub from you and howls and howls." She might have added, "Of no account you who come to the desert thinking the wildflowers bloom for you." Rain is part of what makes a memorable desert bloom, but not just lots of rain. Lots, by the way, in a land of little rain, might be 4 or 5 inches per year. But that rain has to come in the right amounts, at the right times, so the moisture soaks deep into the soil and stays long enough to fully penetrate hard seed coats. Too much rain, though, may wash seeds away or cause them to rot. Temperatures in the Mojave Desert have to be warm, too, but at just the right times. Once you decide where to search for desert wildflowers, call or check the websites of parks and reserves ahead of time to check on conditions. Because of local microclimates, even in years of average rain, some areas may put on a dazzling show, so it's always wise to check. The desert wildflower bloom usually peaks in early March at low elevations, but in the bigger picture, the show continues for some time, the timeline shifting about 2 weeks for every 1,000-foot gain in elevation. The Theodore Payne Foundation for Wildflowers and Native Plants offers the best regional flower report around, a weekly update that usually launches each year on the first Friday in March and continues through May. Given the foundation's location in L.A., celebs get into the act, too. In 2023, for example, actor Joe Spano performed the Wildflower Report, though he's better known for starring in NCIS and, back in the day, Hill Street Blues. Try to flower hunt on a weekday to avoid the worst of the crazed crowds. Give yourself plenty of time to explore trails and otherwise just wander. there's a lot to see. People are often surprised to learn that plant and animal life in the desert is so abundant and diverse. More than 2,000 native plant species, for example, including grasses, annual herbs, perennial herbs, shrubs, and trees. When such glorious variety is in full bloom, take time to appreciate it. And just where should you go to revel in the desert flower frenzy? Wonderful for a day trip in a good year is the Antelope Valley California Poppy Reserve, just west of Lancaster, with meandering trails, benches for resting, and picnic tables. Also famous for its poppy show, the city of Lake Elsinore made headlines in 2023 for banning the public from its Walker Canyon Poppy Reserve. Hard to blame Elsinore, really, given how selfie-seeking poppy mobs tied the whole town and adjacent freeway into knots, resulting in one death, many injuries, and a region-wide traffic jam that locked down all traffic. Not counting the trampled poppies, which didn't survive to reproduce. It would be easy to blame social media. That was Elsinore's take. But it's more like a massive failure of imagination. It takes very little effort to find other wildflower destinations, many of them much less crowded and closer to home. But to mention a few major and very large destinations, Anza Borrego Desert State Park, east of San Diego, is often spectacular, with great plant variety and vast expanses. Ditto for the Mojave National Preserve in the high desert and Joshua Tree National Park, and less visited natural areas near Palm Springs. Then, of course, there's Death Valley National Park, southeast of the Sierra Nevada, some 3.4 million acres of geologically diverse scenery to, well, die for. Again, to find out what's blooming where, check in with the Theodore Payne folks, that's P-A-Y-N-E, at theodorepayne.org. Until next time, this is Kim Weir for Up the Road.
North State Give and Take is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Northern Star Mills, serving the North Valley with farm, garden, and pet supplies since 1898. Northern Star Mills offers natural and organic soil amendments and fertilizers, as well as natural holistic pet supplies. Northern Star Mills is located in downtown Chico, across from the Bidwell Mansion. And by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image opened Monday through Friday, 9 to 3, and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525.
Okay, today on North State Give and Take and Local Voices, I'm going to interview the women that run Chico Bodywise. And that's Bray Weil Sisk, Emma Schutz Fort, and Christine Mascareñas. And all three of these women are going to talk to us about what they do here and kind of about what Chico Bodywise is. Recently, there was a grand opening that I came, and Bray and I spoke about that. But we're going to elaborate on that today and go into what really happens here at Bodywise. So welcome, all three of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's see. Emma, would you like to start? What is your part in Bodywise?
Well, I am a growth and embodiment coach, which means for one-on-one work, I work with people through like creative means, through art, through movement, through like diagramming even, look at kind of what are the forces in their life, what are the paths they're on, what are they, you know, moving towards and what's getting in the way. Yeah, help people explore their internal landscape and also the external forces and movement that's happening in their lives.
And what brings them to you? That's a big part of all of this, is that people have to realize that they want something. And so that's probably where that begins. And then they kind of don't know what.
Yeah.
And then you help them kind of see some of their strengths. And,
yeah, and sometimes yeah. people are pretty clear, like, this thing isn't working in my life.
Yeah.
I've run into, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I really like being able to help people to find what works for them and, like, trust, be able to find the trust in themselves. Like, what knowing, their internal knowing of
who they are.
Who they are, but also in moments, in mm-hmm. experiences, to be able to hone that, like, oh, this is a boundary, or this is, you know, this is something I'm really excited about, and trust those mm-hmm. messages from themselves.
And encourage them to learn from them, I mm-hmm. bet. Yeah. And then aren't you doing some kind of a meditation part of it also, or is that probably part of it?
Yeah, that's part of it, one-on-one, but also I'm going to be doing a group, like a kind of like a class, but a group with folks using art and mindfulness or embodiment, mm-hmm. tuning into sensations in our bodies, but also then expressing through physical art or movement or writing mm-hmm. some of that internal landscape, finding out even through like symbols or colors or representation. It's amazing what people can discover. that maybe it's there, but they don't necessarily
put it together.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the part of it. Because when you say mindfulness, mm-hmm. thinking about mindfulness, okay, that's something over here. But then to kind of bring that into art and expression, I like that.
And then it's real tangible. And then yeah. you can kind of work with it in a different way than just like this amorphous
yes.
sensation or feeling or
yes.
thoughts.
Yeah.
That there's some kind of representation. They can put it up in their house, or they can tear it up if they need to, or they
yeah.
can work with it more if it's like, this is the shape of the anxiety or the, you know, the creature of yeah. my
fear.
Loneliness or yeah. whatever it is.
Yeah. Neat.
Yeah.
How'd you learn all about that?
Well, some of it comes from, I have a master's in psychology, but mostly comes from kind of like my own love for creativity. I've done mm-hmm. art therapy in counseling myself and found it really useful. I do art and in that way for myself and see how that happens. And I'm excited to do it in groups of people because there's something magical that happens. Yeah,
yeah.
And being witnessed in a group too in that mm-hmm. process.
Not many people are doing that.
Yeah, not a ton. I mean, I think more and more people are realizing
Same.
That we need more ways into, like, accessing our inner wisdom.
Uh-huh.
Different paths in, not just...
Paths in, and then kind of paths out, too.
And paths out, too, yeah.
yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm also using art with something called, we're calling Queer Craft in Chat, which is providing a similar space, but more collective, like community building, community connection building specifically for the queer community, but also through art. Yeah, and we're doing some, Brian and I are doing some physical theater.
Oh.
Another way in,
right? Yeah, sure.
To
and another way out.
And another way out, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Well, I know the big part of it is community. So
yeah.
I love it. Whenever that word comes in, it kind of brings it kind of back again. Oh, yeah. That, you know, we're trying to, well, heal a community for one thing, but then being just part of the community. And I get it. I appreciate that.
I do think that's an important, like, hub, part of what we're creating that is maybe different than other therapeutic models. And we were just talking about this, of, like, how, yeah, these different ways in to therapeutic processes or to, like, being well with ourselves or feeling like we're on our path or that we're in good relationships with each other, mm-hmm. that a lot of that also has to do with a need for connection, a need for witnessing, a need to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is coming through and more people are going, oh, yeah, I do want that. Like, I need mm-hmm. a place outside of, like, therapy and this mm-hmm. one-on-one, individualized, kind of, like, hidden part of my life.
Yeah.
To kind of bring these subjects, matters, and these pieces of my humanity into a greater context of connection with other people mm-hmm. who might be having similar experiences, mm-hmm. who might be just able to be like, oh yeah, wow, I see you now. Like to be known, and what, you know, community is a word that gets like sort of tossed around a lot.
Yeah.
But this like root of like, what is it to be in communion? Like, what is it to actually share?
Yeah.
And have a common place where we can come and feel at home to be ourselves, to be our authentic selves.
Mm-hmm. Comfort. So
I think that is a big piece of what we collectively are aiming for with mm-hmm. our different offerings and different ways in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like that because this is a group event here. This isn't one person. This is an idea, and you have to all probably talk about how you're all connected too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's that was Bray right there. Tell me, Bray, a little bit about what you do.
I enter the practice primarily with a hands-on perspective. I'm trained as a massage therapist, but then also extended my studies into somatic movement therapy. And my history working with people through the body is strong and in that way, but it's different than like a regular massage therapist, and that I'm looking at the mind, body, spirit as a wholeness. And that comes out of the influence of Chinese medicine and the style of body work that I do, but also just out of my curiosity for systems and wholeness and the kind of interconnectedness of our physical realities, our spiritual and emotional realities, and how the basis of my work is really a lot about integration of those things that we have potentially been taught are separate.
Mm-hmm.
And that this, kind of common theme of like being separated out or dissected into like, oh, I have my body, or I have my mind, or I have this or I have that. Like, it's very binary kind of thinking and polarizing thoughts that actually in my mind prevents us from finding wholeness
mm-hmm.
in many ways in the modern world. So so now at this point I'm offering somatic integration and integrative body work, both on the table, like a session, a treatment, if you will. And then I also offer movement therapy, which is more of an opportunity to work with patterns and habits, both emotionally, physically, and relationally, that might be showing up, and we could have some impact on how those things are in our lives through looking at it through movement and the body. So it's more of a guided practice and facilitating shifts into different states of being, like even giving people tools for movement practices to help them when they are in anxiety or they are in some sort of activated state mm-hmm. in their lives, right? So that feels like that is a key to sort of more agency for clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to combine those two things mm-hmm. also. Like sometimes they'll come for a treatment and then we'll go into movement therapy and we'll come back into mm-hmm. integration. Most of my clients are looking for an integration of their physical world with their emotional and psychological. Mm-hmm. I'm not predominantly just doing like treatments for people who have physical pains only.
Yeah.
Although it's totally possible to have treatments and address that. And that sometimes the entry point is that the body is showing pain.
Yeah.
And therefore there's something deeper happening. There's a lot of community things that we're doing that I'm involved in here, but I'm also collaborating with Emma and bringing my background as a theater artist, and particularly a movement-based theater artist, to bring in more therapeutic mm-hmm. experience of what is it to play and how do we use expressive means to be together and work through the things mm-hmm. that like maybe get us caught up, but that it doesn't have to be like hard and painful and boring to do our work on mm-hmm. ourselves. And maybe we don't even have to do it on ourselves by ourselves, right? In therapy,
yeah.
We could do it in a group and we could play and we could feel like, oh, right. I now understand how I want to be moving in my mm-hmm. life more. And that's all. It's all an experiment. Can we just try it differently? I think that's really my thing. Is like, can we try different entry points into what it means to heal or be well or live good lives, mm-hmm. etc.
See that?
Yeah, the complementary nature of each of us individually.
Of us. Yes.
Then, as a collective, we have more than one way to help support someone.
Uh huh.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then Christine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Tell me what you do.
Well, my background is in social work. And I'm licensed clinical social work and practice that for a part of my life so far. And as a practitioner in that setting and in community agencies, I really focus on, in that session, the somatics of a client's experience, how emotions are showing up through the body, and how we can sort of be present with that emotional presentation to allow it to expand or to contract or to move or to morph or to change a color or to, and then in that way connect it to, like, what does it have to say? What does it need? So that's where I feel the skill set and my strengths of bringing into Chico Body Wise is, it is that way of being with people. And I'm very interested in showing up as a safe witness for people. And I primarily worked with people that have been through a lot of early trauma or current day trauma or living in present trauma. I feel strongly that we can only do so much on our own, and that we can learn a lot of skills to heal ourselves. And ultimately, that's what everyone's doing. But there's a really profound power in being witnessed by someone in that process, or being witnessed by a group of people in that process, that takes it from an individual experience to a collective experience. So an individual wound to a collective wound. We're speaking to a whole range of things. So I come in with that. I also do tarot card readings. I'm very interested in that. And in the process here with Chico Body Wise, I really appreciate that we're relationally focused. And so for me, like in that process of tarot reading, I like to offer like sort of consultation in a way of like kind of getting to know someone. And then walking through that process of looking at themes or archetypes or patterns with the questions that they bring or what they bring into the session. And then following that, I like to offer an integration piece with the tarot card reading, where it's a check-in after the process of, well, what was that and what have you learned? And in the reflection, like, what's coming through for you and what's true for you in the moment. I'm also just got my Reiki 2 practitioner certification. So I'm really excited to bring that here and to grow that into what I offer. I feel like that's always sort of been an element, even though it wasn't labeled, but an element of what I've brought into the world is being really sensitive and aware of energetic states and energetic expressions. And to offer energetic healing or the presence so people can heal themselves, and offer sort of like as a quiet vessel, because traditionally with licensure, it's like traditionally thought of as talk therapy. Mm-hmm. And I want to offer something that allows the quiet of just being with the process and not a need to just quickly jump into verbalizing every process and every sensation and analyzing everything, because that's a function of the mind, and to create a space where it's just an experience. And then we kind of express afterwards, like, what was true for you or what did you find in that process?
Between the three of you, there's so many ways to kind of heal and look at things. It's just starting. Mm-hmm. How to begin.
You're listening to an interview with Bray, Emma, and Christine talking about their business, Chico Body Wise, and we'll be back. You're listening to 90.1 FM KZFR Chico. My name's Bobby Tryon, and this is Local Voices. And we're going to go back to our interview with Bray Sisk, Emma Schutzfort, and Christine Mascarenas, talking about their collective Chico Body Wise.
I was just thinking about the tarot and also the art practice of like working with, like, so many times we have these experiences, and they are kind of amorphous or abstract, or they're in a thought, and like having these, you know, visual spaces or creative spaces to start to like bring something into expression or into like a tangible piece we can look at, whether it's movement, like movement sequence or an artistic, you know, rendering or a tarot, like the archetypes and themes that come. And I just, I think there is something really like about this Chico body wise, right? Like that we're really trying to bring people in also like into the process, not just have it be like sort of something that's floating in this overly verbal, overly stimulated in this certain kind of cognitive way that the world is for many people.
Yeah.
We're very much oriented towards the value of action and doing and giving and being outward, but not necessarily expressive, right? Outward, but that doesn't always mean that it's coming and resourced from knowing oneself. And I think that's a big part of what we're inviting here is people to be known by themselves, but also by others, and to be in spaces that bring us into more reciprocity around our giving and receiving. And I think we could speak to like some of the community practices that we're offering as a, aside from just like individual work with all of us, because those are sort of the groundworks that we're inviting people in also.
Yeah,
and I think people also just are so hungry for finding places where they can trust and let go and land and be known. And so sometimes even just being in the community events is enough for someone. It's a therapeutic enough at this stage, especially in reentry to more connection after COVID and the way that we, many of us, retracted into more isolation during that time. So yeah, that also gives people a chance to know us in the context of these different community events and sort of see if they do want to seek something more specific and individually get supported by, they can kind of then, I don't know, start to know who they resonate with or how they might want to enter
what into more to them.
Deeper work with someone.
So tell me about some of the community.
We have one offering that we're calling Community Council, and it's every other week, and it's kind of a simple process of just, there's a little bit of a structure and container for everyone to show up as they are and speak from their heart about, this is where I'm at. And there's often like a open-ended prompt to kind of guide, you know, like our first one was emergence, just at the beginning of, you know, it was like winter, spring moment. But yes, just showing up, speaking from where you're at and being witnessed. And having space, you know, each person having space without having a response or a judgment or a advice or anything. And there's something that happens at some point in that, that like everybody kind of sinks in, it feels like, and it creates some of what I feel like we're talking about with the showing up with your whole self and the witnessing and that connection that we're trying to come back to.
And in a group. It must be for some people hard, especially when you're not used to that kind of, to sitting in a group and speaking your heart or something that's pretty heavy.
It's a practice. I would say it's a practice, right? And to find the way that we also can just arrive to what is actually true for us in the moment is a practice, right? Because we get so inclined towards planning and thinking and, and trying to present and perform in the world. And so, yeah, it is maybe sometimes a little challenging to drop away from those things and just be with what comes in the moment. But I think it's a good practice. And, and it's a... It has, like, there's a settling that occurs when we kind of get into the zone, and there's a sense of shared leadership in this space, and a horizontal leadership instead of hierarchy. It's like we have a loose, you know, there's a few people facilitating, but the facilitation is very open, and it's really about the wisdom of the circle, the wisdom of our collective perceptions, and that we each and every one of us have a piece and a part to play in what is happening in these times in, in our lives. So I think it's a nice way of practicing and remembering that for how it is just in general that we sometimes forget.
So